I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB at Tanglewood. I'm with Sue Elliott, and Sue is the newly named director of the Tanglewood Learning Institute. Sue, thanks so much for coming by and talking with me a little bit about TLI.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. I'm here, actually. It's my debut appearance at Tanglewood. I haven't been here before.
You've never been to Tanglewood?
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And I know I just admitted that on radio, but but nevertheless, what a magical place and a wonderful endeavor to call my new professional home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing, as I'm sure you can relate from some of your past experiences, there's nothing like a place that you love and seeing someone come for the first time. So just give me your impression. I mean, I didn't realize it was your first time here. And tell me about walking onto the lawn and seeing this place. You'd heard about it before. What was it like to actually see the scope of it and the proportions and the scenery? Tell me about that experience for you.
Sure. So I arrived earlier this week and came in for a morning meeting and found my way to the parking lots, no problem, and then walked over to the shed. The orchestra was rehearsing at that point for the Schumann, the Rhenish Symphony program. And so I just sat in a chair there because I was early, and hearing impeccable music making, seeing the totality of that human energy and creative expression. I'm accustomed to that because I've spent my life in music.
Yep.
But what I'm not accustomed to is the environment in which all of that beautiful magic is happening. And so I was right on the edge of the seating sections of the shed. And so, of course, my eyes turned to some of the trees who've been here for a very long time. And I was thinking about, you know, this natural world and what the trees and all of these things do to allow us to live. You know, they clean the air and give us shade from the sun and or from spectacular rainstorms like last night. And I thought, well, yeah, so there's the physical aspect of care for living. But really, from my perspective, what makes life worth living are these artistic experiences that bring so many people together from all over the world, artists, audiences, to sort of share this magic. So it was absolutely overwhelming in the best possible way.
Fantastic. Well, and so that connection of these elements and inspiring people through these amazing performances has always been at the center of what Tanglewood is about. Tanglewood Learning Institute is a new development of that whole mission, a sort of new branch of it, if you will. And before we get into sort of where you're coming from personally and what you see as your personal opportunities with it, tell me how you are understanding Tanglewood Learning Institute and its mission within the overall scope of Tanglewood in general.
Sure. So just a brief sort of one sentence overview of what I think the TLI will encompass. The TLI, Tanglewood Learning Institute, we love acronyms around here. Even
true.
3 days in, I can tell that. So TLI will offer year-round programming for musically savvy and musically curious adults here in the Berkshires, in Boston, and beyond. And so it will mean a variety of different things. And I'm here on a visit right now. I start work in a few weeks. And so we're still putting in place many of the frameworks of programming, but I can tell you that music and live performance will absolutely be at the heart of our work, but it's not going to stop there. Not only do we have a broad geographic reach because we will be doing a lot of in-person programming, but there will be a distance learning component as well, because it's my mission to share Tanglewood with the world and the world with Tanglewood through the TLI. So we will have, you know, during the Tanglewood season here, we'll have immersive experiences, which are multi-day events that folks can sign up for. And that will include a variety of activity that will be based in some respects on what's happening here that weekend on stage. But we're co-located in 4 new buildings on the Tanglewood campus with the Tanglewood Music Center. And as much as TLI will bring new things to Tanglewood and Boston, the opportunity that we have to share more of the TMC program with the world is also really exciting. They need space. We're out of space here. So those 4 new buildings are a welcome addition. And so we'll be able to invite people to masterclasses. We'll be able to show films in the big studio. We will be able to offer maybe even food and art programming and literature. You know, we're really looking at all of the humanities and science and industry, because of course there are so many scientific aspects of music, right? We have acoustics, but we also have, you know, just the mechanics of instruments and how the voice works. And so we haven't, you know, we're not ready to announce any programming at this point in time.
Sure.
We'll start in 2019. So for us, the clock is definitely ticking. And of course, the team who's been working on this since 2012, really, which was when the decision was made to move forward with this project, a lot of work has been done. And the buildings are under construction right now. I just came from some tours there this morning with some folks, and it's really lovely to see. You know, the siding is partly done, and there's still a lot of mechanical equipment inside. They haven't done the finishing of the insides, but we're on track to finish construction at the end of December 2018. And then we do need to spend a few months doing what we call tuning the buildings. So we'll have, you know, a variety of musics in those spaces and lectures, some of which may or may not be open, because we need to really play with all of the customizable aspects of each of the spaces. There are all sorts of acoustic tile and movable curtains and screens. And in keeping with tradition here on Tanglewood campus, we can open some of the walls. So yeah, we can, you know, reduce the kind of division between our wonderful natural world and the wonderful acoustic music making.
And when the air is perfect in here at Tanglewood, it is just something to behold and to feel and allow to envelop you. So that's a really important part. Thank you for such a concise and well-rounded kind of nutshell of the vision. But two things jump out at me from what you just said as real departures from what Tanglewood has been.
Okay.
You said year-round.
Yes.
That hasn't really been a Tanglewood thing.
Tanglewood
has been focused on summer, which, you know, for obvious reasons. The other thing is distance events, because, you know, technologically, there was no way to really take Tanglewood beyond this campus here in the Berkshires. So let's just talk about those a little bit, with all respect to no programs being ready to be announced or anything, but tell me what it is that the TLI can do outside of the summer, just in sort of very general terms. What does that mean for what TLI can really pull off?
I think there are sort of two streams of things that I'd love to talk about here today.
Yeah.
And the first would be what will be TLI-produced programming year-round here. All four buildings are climate controlled, and one of the reasons why we haven't been able to do that before now is that we don't have climate controlled buildings
right
across campus. So that will allow us to have this happen. So I think much of the same kind of formats of programming that you see here in the summer will continue that during the fall. The buildings have been constructed in such a way that we can easily convert them into a high quality recording studio. So we do hope that that will be one of the uses for the buildings. And I think, you know, my mind can't stop imagining possibilities about programs. And so I can see us working with those artists to maybe capture some of the recording process on film, so that we can make that a part of our shared learning journeys about all aspects of music and music performance, just as one small idea. I think that what's going to be important to me is to spend some time here, even after the summer is over, talking to people. I know there's already a lot of cultural activity happening in the Berkshires, and I imagine that with more space, we'll be able to make more happen. So aside from TLI-produced programming in the spaces, I know that my colleagues at the BSO, Alexander Fuchs and Zakiya Thomas, have been hard at work for at least a year, meeting with the Cultural Association here in the Berkshires and talking to many of the existing organizations to find ways that they could utilize the space while we're not here in full force. So it's a resource not only for programming that we'll produce, but also use by the community. And I will say that I think there's already a rental of a space for a wedding.
Of course
it'll be after next summer season, I think maybe Labor Day. But, you know, it really was built with all of those things in mind. And there's a really, I don't know if you would say technologically advanced, probably not, but there's a brand new cafe space as one of the four buildings. And so, you know, we'll have the ability to do some serious catering. And so it makes it really adaptable for almost any purpose. I mean, we can host conferences and events, and we can stream from there elsewhere and stream things from elsewhere here. So, you know, it's quite frankly, the possibilities right now are endless, and what we're going to have to do is channel all of these great ideas from so many folks and move forward into year one. And I would also say that it's really important to me and my colleagues here at the Boston Symphony Orchestra that as a learning institute, we're modeling learning explicitly. And so one of the interesting things for me in terms of keeping the learning explicit is that you will see our programming be refined and adapted and changed very quickly. Because we'll find things that work really, really well. We'll find things that may not hit all the right notes, quote unquote.
Right.
And so I think it's really important for us to be a learning organization and to show that to all of our participants and the broader community.
That's brilliant. And I love the idea that things can be happening here that the way you're describing all this brings to me images of people in their homes at their laptops experiencing something taking place right in those buildings, but also institutions partnering with Tanglewood, other conservatories around the world that might tap into a masterclass with a visiting artist, something like that. So that all sounds really terrifically exciting. And your whole tone sounds very exciting. I can tell that this kind of work has really grabbed you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you more about where you're coming from and why, what the building blocks are for your own passion for this. I guess what I know about your background involves being at the Royal Conservatory in Toronto, and there was some distance learning that you constructed there. So say more about what you learned, maybe some specific things even about what to do, or maybe even more importantly, what not to try to do in that realm, what has worked and what hasn't worked in your background so far.
Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about the conservatory, and then I can talk about some of the other building blocks of my career that
Please.
Are a little bit different.
Absolutely.
So the Royal Conservatory of Music in Toronto is an international organization, but it's been around almost as long as the Boston Symphony. Yeah. And its principal attributes are a system of learning for private instruction in every instrument, voice, and music theory. The RCM is also a publishing company, so we publish all of the books that take a student through their curriculum from beginner to advanced performing student. And that's been the backbone of music education actually across Canada. So almost anybody who studied music in Canada would have at one point used the RCM method.
That's amazing. I did not know that. That's kind of incredible.
It's really incredible. And it's so well embedded in Canadian society and life. If you, depending on the province, if you reach a certain level, level 8, level 9, you actually get high school credit for that. On your transcript in high school, like I have two extra credits because I did RCM exams growing up.
Okay.
Because we have an examination system on that curriculum. And
yeah.
So every year you can take another exam and be marked on that, and that's what allows it to appear on transcripts. So that's really been the historical focus of the conservatory. They have a professional training school, the Glenn Gould School, and the Taylor Academy, which is the training ground for the Glenn Gould School in some respects. But about 10 years ago, they started to talk about harnessing the power of digital learning to reach more people and to actually, in some ways, make private music teachers' lives easier.
Yep.
So we offer many things online, digital learning programs, but what I did there is that I created the world's first professional development certificate and accreditation program for private music teachers online. And so if you're a teacher who's just beginning their teaching career, maybe you were a performer, you finished school, you're wondering what's next, you're going to teach on the side probably. But most performers don't study teaching in school.
No.
And it doesn't mean that they're not going to be a great teacher.
No, but you're right. But the results can be scattershot.
It's true. Yeah. Yes. Some performers, many of the ones that we have here on Tanglewood campus, are, you know, among the best teachers in the world, but others struggle with teaching. And so you could be a beginning teacher, you can be someone who's mid-career. I find that there are a lot of teachers who might have worked in a corporate job for a while and they got really tired of that. And so then, you know, middle age, they're coming back to teaching and they want refreshers. And even some of our more experienced teachers want to play a role in this professional community of practice. Mm-hmm. So we offer actual online courses, 10-week certificate courses. We offer a portal, if you will, which is essentially a repository of more than 1,000 pedagogical resources. So if you're a teacher and you have a new student and the parent has come to you and said, you know, my child is on the autism spectrum, we have resources that will help you learn how to teach that student very effectively, because that's also training you don't get, even in some teaching programs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or how to help your students overcome performance anxiety. All of these kinds, and, you know, music theory worksheets that teachers can print out and give their students for homework to help them overcome some of their music theory challenges. So a wide variety of online resources, plus a community where teachers can network with each other online. And we have teachers from Iqaluit, which is way, 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 way up north, close to the Arctic Circle, teachers in Hawaii, teachers on the East Coast, you know, the Avalon Peninsula of Newfoundland, which is about as far east as you can go before you're swimming even further. And, you know, down in the Florida Keys. So, yeah. You know, this world. So that's what I did at the conservatory.
Wow.
Prior to that, I am a trained musician. I was a clarinetist and pianist. I'm learning how to play the ukulele right now.
Fantastic.
And I have been known to whip out my kazoo. Because it's always a fun day when you're playing the kazoo.
Yeah, that's right.
So I am a trained musician, but I actually suffered a career-ending injury playing the clarinet. And at that time, I was stage managing for opera programs. And so I slid sideways into opera stage management, and that led me to Houston Grand Opera. And at Houston Grand Opera, I did stage manage for a couple of years, but then I was redeployed, if you will, to launch a brand new program there called Song of Houston. And Song of Houston was meant to reinvent the opera company's relationship with the city of Houston. We had a new general director come in, Anthony Freud, from the UK, and what he noticed is that more people abroad knew about Houston Grand Opera than maybe did in the city of Houston itself. And so the Song of Houston initiative had new work development at its heart, but it was special new work development. What we did is we collected stories from people who call Houston home today. And we created operas working hand in hand with composers and librettists. So one of the signature pieces of that Song of Houston initiative was the world's first mariachi opera.
Wow.
And it's sold out in at least 9 cities around the world.
Yeah.
So far. And we engaged the John Lennon of mariachi and the Beatles of mariachi to write it and premiere it. So that was a part of its great success. In a sense, they're like the BSO, but in the world of mariachi.
And let's just pause to say, that's not a joke. I mean, mariachi is a serious form of music.
It is a serious form of music.
I mean, maybe people in this part of the country don't completely grasp that, but if you've been in Mexico,
yeah.
it is an ongoing, thriving art form.
It's so true.
Of its own kind, yeah.
And in fact, across the world. So every year, I think it's around Labor Day in Guadalajara, uh-huh. in Mexico, there's yeah. a mariachi festival.
Yeah.
And so you have mariachi bands from Croatia, from Russia. There's a huge mariachi following in Japan.
Yeah.
And there are bands from all over the world. And in the southern U.S., you can actually take a performance degree in mariachi music. So in any case, those were the kind... And we were telling stories of a family split by the border. Yeah. And there's nothing more timely than that. It's certainly historic as well. But... So that was really the kernel of Song of Houston, but in conjunction with those commissions, we did a wide variety of community engagement projects. So that could be poetry creation, literature, film. With the mariachi project, in that particular opera, one of the narrative elements was the migration of the monarch butterfly from Mexico to Canada and back. And so we actually worked with the U.S., Forest Service, we partnered with them, and the Houston Museum of Natural Science, and we built several learning butterfly gardens in schools around Houston. So, you have to have particular plants for them at all stages of their life cycle. We installed weather stations because weather is so interesting from a science perspective for schools to have their students learning and checking that data every day. So you can see that, yes, absolutely, high quality, moving music of today is at the heart, but there's so much more we can do. And so that's one of the things that I bring to TLI. And then from there, I went to Seattle Opera and we redesigned all of those public programs. And so I did, I think, more in Seattle programming for amateur music makers. And so I mentioned the kazoo as a joke, but it's actually really serious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when you're with an opera company and you have, let's say, a big open house, like Tanglewood on Parade. There are not many more moving experiences in the world than singing with people together. But I know if I asked 10 people outside the doors of this studio if they would sing with me, about 9 of them would run screaming.
That's true.
But give them a kazoo, Brian,
and
they're all over it. And it's in part because if you can make any sound on a kazoo, it's the best sound you make on a kazoo. So there's no worry, right? Yeah, you don't have to get better at it.
No.
And
it's the lowest possible barrier to entry.
It's so true. But it's actually singing.
Yeah.
Because it's an open-mouthed hum. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can take 500 brand new kazoo players through a full vocal warm-up. And we have a great time. So, you know, that's one example of that. And when I've been talking here with folks, you know, we're really interested in continuing to deepen people's connections with contemporary music. It's been such a part of Tanglewood since its inception.
Yeah, and the BSO in general. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's astonishing, really, as a newcomer to this to the BSO, just to look on their website at the list of really important works that they premiered over their more than a century's worth of cultural service. But another low barrier to entry is percussion. And percussion plays a huge role in contemporary music, and not just what you might think of as traditional orchestral percussion instruments, but instruments from around the world, from a wide variety of different cultures. And so, you know, one of the ideas I'm toying with that we haven't put in place or anything, but I'm toying with finding the right composer teaching artist to work with TLI participants, musical experience or not, to create a new work for percussion that is performed by TLI.
Wow.
Because it's one thing to listen to how a work is created by the composer, you know, them talking to us, and we have composers around us almost every day here at Tanglewood, to think about what inspired them to create that, what how the musicians feel that are playing that work for the first time, how the work gets refined over time, even sometimes after its premiere. It's one thing to understand that on a cognitive level. It's a whole other thing to actually do it yourself.
Yeah.
And so that kind of active engagement is actually really important to me. And I think in almost every area of life, active engagement is where we're at. You know, with the advent of computers, you can do so much more DIY stuff yourself. You can edit video pretty easily. You can compose, you know, you can beatbox, whatever you want. And I think we need to do the same thing here. I want to make sure that the live shared experience is at the heart of everything we do. Because I will tell you just a little anecdote. One day when I was flying from Seattle to Toronto, I had, you know, a 6:30 a.m. flight. I had a 6:30 a.m. flight. And I arrived at the Seattle airport pretty early for that flight. And there's a common food court there. And it was in December at the holiday time. And there was a woman at 4:30 in the morning playing holiday music on the piano, live. And I stood there for a moment and I realized that we hear music all the time in public spaces. You know, you call it elevator music. But when I stood there in front of this woman who was offering us this beautiful music in person at 4:30 in the morning, I realized that this exchange between performer and audience, it's almost physical. You know, maybe that's a little woo-woo, but But it's different. It feels different when you see someone, you see that human energy giving you the gift of that experience, whether that leads you on an emotional journey, which is so powerful in music, whether it's an intellectual journey or a combination of the two. But, you know, that kind of experience is really at the heart of what we're going to offer for TLI, with the ability to expand and deepen that through the internet and our distance learning programs.
It's terrifically exciting.
It really is.
Yeah.
I can't sleep these days because I just want to get started.
I think you mean that in a good way.
I do. It's so true. Yes.
Yeah. Sue Elliott, the new director of the Tangle Learning Institute, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with me about all of it. Really looking forward to how things develop in the next year and beyond that.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate your time today.